It is a bitter legacy that this country still struggles with. 400 years ago this week, the first enslaved Africans were brought to the American colonies. Today, when African Americans visit countries like Ghana to learn about the roots of slavery, they discover a complex relationship with the locals. We begin today with the world's Rupa Shenoy reporting from Ghana, starting at Elmina Castle on Ghana's coast. Elmina once was one of the busiest hubs in the transatlantic slave trade.
Oh, please, can we go inside?
A tour guide at Elmina Castle ushers us into one of the cells where prisoners were kept. There are about 30 of us, and we have to stand uncomfortably close. The ceiling is low. Suddenly, the room goes dark. The only light comes from around the edges of the door. The guide has unexpectedly shut it. The tourists, mostly Africans, look at each other nervously. Standing right in the middle of the room, Amson Hagen's eyes are huge. He's one of the few Americans here, a grad student at the University of North Carolina. It doesn't last a minute before the guide opens the door. He dramatically tells us,
"Condemned cell."
Condemned cell, he says. This is where the captive Africans who wouldn't stop resisting were kept as punishment. We shuffle to the next stop in the hour-long tour of Elmina Castle. I fall into step with Amson Hagen.
Yeah, you looked a little freaked out by that.
Having to crouch down, you know, when I was small, I didn't have to crouch.
Amson's talking about when he came here as a kid with his dad, James Hagen. And his dad's here again, too. James Hagen is Ghanaian-American, a retired high school social studies teacher from Maryland who grew up here. He says the last time he was here, the guides left out a lot, so he's intent on making sure today's guides are better. The guide mentions something about pregnant women being among the prisoners here. James Hagen speaks up.
Question. You have something to say?
Amson is chuckling because apparently his dad does this a lot.
Being here for 2-3 months, how were they, the females, why and how were they able to be pregnant? And who made them pregnant?
Yes, who made them pregnant? How did they get pregnant? Definitely somebody might have slept with them.
The guide says the European slavers were the ones who slept with the captive African women. And he moves on. Amson breathes a sigh of relief. He says once, when a tour guide got to this subject, the guide pointed at him. Amson has lighter skin than his dad. He gets it from his mom, who's a lighter-skinned black American woman descended from people who were enslaved.
He singled me out. I don't remember who was in the group. I was young. But I remember him saying, you know, this is how you end up with individuals who look like you. I said, okay.
A little later, James Hagen presents the guide with another question.
Okay, were the slaves who were left here, were they in chains?
The guide says they were only put in chains when they were taken out of their cells, and then they were led through a door that he shows us. It has a plaque above it that says, Door of No Return, and it's intentionally narrow, so captive Africans had to walk out one by one, from near darkness to sudden blinding sunlight. Amson examines the door and shudders.
Think about all the work and mental labor that went into constructing this place so that it was efficient for its task. It's remarkably awful.
The captive Africans who left here were chained for months in the packed bowels of ships until they arrived in the Americas and were enslaved. These days, that trip takes little more than a day by plane. Abdul-Majid made the journey 4 years ago.
Everybody wished to be born in America, in Canada, in Japan, in all those advanced countries, you understand? But you don't have a choice. That's where you are born, so that's who you are.
His journey to the U.S. started when he got a visa to see the World Cup in Brazil. Majid worked in that country, saved money, then paid smugglers for safe passage north. At the U.S. border, he asked for asylum. He spent 2 years in American detention centers before he was deported.
In the detention, I learned much, much about U.S. immigration and stuff. Even I learned so much about the United States. So that made me feel like I was part of a country, you know. So when I was being deported, I was like, hell no, man.
The day he was deported, he says he was chained first for the bus ride to the airport. Then on the plane, he was chained to his seat the whole time.
Handcuffed, your hands, your waist, and your leg. I've never think somebody would do that thing for me. Even a whole America, I've never thought they would do that. You can't move, you can't do anything.
The Ghanaian government has repeatedly, formally, objected to the American use of chains on deportees during the flight home. And the U.S. government says Ghana is no longer accepting Ghanaian deportees from the United States. In response, the U.S. has cut back on the number of visas it offers to Ghana citizens. So Majid says even deportees have special status in Nima, the neighborhood where he grew up. It's one of the poorest areas of Accra, and it's like a maze of old makeshift homes. People nod to Majid as we pass.
You know what made people respect me more was when I travel outside. So when somebody hears that you've passed that journey to America, you come. Even though you don't have anything, the person respects you a lot.
But since Majid returned here, he says he hasn't been able to find a job. We step over shallow canals that serve as sewers. Majid says the only toilets are some porta potties.
People have to queue, like almost like 50 or 40 people to go in a queue to go and ease themselves. It's quite crazy, man. Nobody wants to leave over here. Nobody wants to leave over here.
Thank you so much.
That's my mom coming over there.
The home he, his sister, and his mother share is about the size of a big van.
The African Americans who are born over there, some of them, when they see us, they feel like we are not connected to them. They call themselves, oh, African. Even as such, they don't do much. They only just come here to talk. Then go.
Majid doesn't think African Americans realize how much help the people of Ghana need, or they don't care. If they did, he says, they'd do more than visit slave castles to understand their own history. They'd invest in the people here and help Ghana return to what it was before colonialism and the slave trade. But African Americans, for their part, also feel misunderstood, in part because their American privilege came at a cost that some feel still isn't fully recognized. Also, at Elmina Castle, James Hagen and his son Ampson say Americans don't have as much money to spare as Ghanaians think.
Yeah, not all Americans have money. Get no bunch
never
of Americans
who are poor.
You see, a lot of people, you know, they think coming from America, you have money. No, it don't work that way.
To many Ghanaians, the American descendants of enslaved Africans are really lucky. But for people like Cynthia McCroy, Ghanaians have something that American slave owners deliberately tried to strip away from enslaved Africans, their culture. Cynthia's here with the group on a mission trip. She's from Omaha, Nebraska.
Just we saw yesterday where some gentlemen were arguing, and other people came and they helped them. They pulled them apart. They talked to them. It wasn't a negative thing. They just were there to help. You know, and back in our country, people just stand aside and watch or videotape it.
But Cynthia isn't kidding herself. She knows she lives in a much more prosperous and stable country, and she's grateful to be American.
We as Americans are so blessed. We have so much, and us visiting the villages and the towns see the conditions that are so different for the people that are here. And it's a lot of it is because of what happened in the past, what was taken from them.
Ghana lost many of its resources during colonialism and millions of its people during slavery. Those enslaved Africans who survived, Cynthia says, in a way, they fought for the life she has today as an American.
When I think of the conditions of the dungeons, the cells, to treat another human being that way, I can't imagine.
For the world, Rupa Shenoy, Elmina, Ghana.
Tomorrow, Rupa concludes our series on the legacy of slavery with the story of one Ghanaian tribe's complicity in the international slave trade. Catch that tomorrow here on The World.